Welcome to Silent Sales Machine Radio, Business Building Warrior. I'm so glad you've chosen to spend a few moments with us today. We've got some pre-recorded content today since it's the weekend update, but it's probably content you haven't heard unless you join us on a regular basis for our live Monday night Q&A sessions with our entire community. Man, some good questions happen when we do that, and we'd love to share the questions and responses with you. That's what we do on our weekend updates. We'd love for you to join us some Monday. It's open to anyone in our community. The best way to hear about these and to get the links you need and participate is to be part of the free Facebook group. There's a link at silentgym.com to that free Facebook group. Jump in there. Most Mondays we go live. Quite often it's me. Sometimes it's some other folks on our leadership team answering any e-commerce or Amazon questions. Then we compile the best questions and answers into a weekend update for those who couldn't make it to the live session. So that's what we've got for you today. Hopefully you're enjoying your weekend. Thanks for taking us along. I'll cut right to the chase. Let's jump right into the content. Let's see what the team compiled for us today. But I have been doing this a long time. We run a very robust Amazon business, Walmart, eBay. We do this stuff we teach. We've got a retail location. We've got a prep center. All this stuff that we teach, we do it. I've got people on payroll running it, or I'm very involved in it myself because I want to speak from a place of experience and authority and knowledge because I'm in the business. So I don't just teach theory of stuff that kind of works for other people. We're doing this stuff at a very high level. We've had a great year, 2023 wrapped up, our best year ever for every measurable way, just a beautiful year. And I have every reason to believe 2024 for you, for anyone in our community that pays attention to what we teach, it's going to be awesome for you as well. Lots of signs that Amazon is exploding in growth. And maybe I'll just, since I don't have any hands up yet, no one's waving at me, wanting to have a conversation yet, nothing in the chat yet that I've seen. Although I'd encourage you to say, give a shout out to your fellow business building warriors, if nothing else in the chat. So everybody knows that you're all alive and breathing out there. But let me just talk about this. I had a conversation just now with someone who's a been in the e-commerce industry almost as long as I have, which is a rarity, right? This guy's been in there, you know, 15, 17 years or so. And just talking about the Amazon opportunity in comparison to all the other opportunities that we see out there in e-commerce, because as you know, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. Why is it that we focus so much on Amazon? Why is it that we focus so much on this particular strategy? Is it because we love Jeff Bezos? Is it because we just spun a wheel and decided one day? No, actually, there's a podcast episode that should be out Wednesday of this week as I'm recording this, where Brian and Robin Joy dive into exactly why we call this the low, low, high strategy of e-commerce. Low investment required, very low learning curve, very low risk, the lowest we've seen on all those categories, with the highest odds of success if you follow the system. That's why we start here. We want you to put money in the bank as you learn and gain confidence as you go. So there's simply no need to take big risks around here. You just don't have to. We have people they talked about on the podcast episode that will be out Wednesday. I heard it today and I recorded the introduction today, but you'll hear it Wednesday. One of their students who has, I think they said $50 or $75 a week. That's their budget for their Amazon business, for their inventory, and they're doing well. They're doing great. They're spending a few dollars a week, test-worthy ASINs, sending them in. It's starting to turn over. They're starting to see progress. You don't need a lot of money to do this. So very low risk, very low investment required, very low learning curve, very high odds of success if you follow the system. That's why we teach this. Is this the only thing we teach? Of course not. We teach all kinds of other strategies, and you'll see that reflected in the Proven Amazon course. Dozens of different ways to make money on Amazon that we've identified, and we're doing a lot of them. We launched a brand new one just today, actually. If anyone's jumping into the influencer program, I'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you've followed that. That's the provenazinfluencer.com. Proven A-Z, as in Amazon, influencer.com. If you haven't heard it yet, there's a link on that page to an interview I did with the guys who are killing it with that program. They've become leaders on our team. We'll be talking about it a lot at our upcoming conference in May as well. But basically, it's just a matter of uploading product review videos to Amazon. It's that simple. you get paid to upload product review videos to Amazon. Once you're approved for the program, upload videos. Amazon pays you if someone watches that video and buys the product. You don't have to sell the product that you're talking about. You don't have to have ever purchased that product yourself. You'd be at a friend's house doing a review. They talk about walking through a hotel lobby and seeing a one of the carts that the maids push around, you know, the cleaning crew. And they just stopped, made a video, showed it off, showed the wheels, showed the components, showed it full of all the stuff, found it on Amazon, uploaded the video. Now they're getting paid every month as sales of that cleaning cart are made on Amazon. If someone watched their video before they bought it, then they get rewarded as an Amazon influencer. So pretty cool program. Like I said, doesn't cost you anything. You just need your cell phone to do it. And we've started up a class teaching you how to jump into it based on, we've been looking at it for several months. We've got several leaders on our team who are doing it very successfully. I've got three people in my family, my wife, my son, and my daughter-in-law, who are all jumping into it and excited about it. Pretty simple program. ProvenAZInfluencer.com is where you can get details on that. JC saying, hey, he's a current coaching student. He's asking about the influencer program that I already introduced, making those videos, uploading them to Amazon. How do I get my discount as a coaching student? If you go to ProvenAZInfluencer.com, you'll see there's a couple discount links there. One's for proven Amazon course students, and then there's a more aggressive discount for coaching students who have been through our coaching program. We'd love to really take care of you guys, the best discounts on everything we ever do, or we just give it to you for free. In this case, it's an extreme discount. And you can either click the link there or you can email our support team. There's a link to email our support team at the bottom of the ProvenAZInfluencer.com page. You're going to see a link to email us about your discount code if you're confused. But that link should take you right into the learning portal where you'll see a page that has your discount code on it as a coaching student. So either way, let us know. And we'll be glad to take care of you. You're welcome, JC. He said, thank you. So how do I find community? There's a few different things you can do. If you're brand new around here, get into the Facebook group. That's the base level must do. Once you're in there, type in the name of some local big cities near you, and you'll see those other cities being mentioned. We have a thread actually where we encourage people to mention the big city near them, and you'll see all kinds of people in that thread who have mentioned the big cities near them. So anyone who's looking for someone to connect with, and kind of say, oh, that person, let's say you live near Tampa. You're not in Tampa, but you're near Tampa, Florida. You type in Tampa. Who else lives in that area? Well, they've gone in and they've typed Tampa too. You can private message them, start to form a mastermind. Very easy way to start to form a group that way. If you get the proven Amazon course, one of the things you could do is jump into a Kickstart bootcamp. And what that entails is it's a handful of new sellers who all jump in to the bootcamp at the same time. You get your own private Facebook group. You get assigned a coach from our team who's going to be there with you at each of the sessions of these group meetings. And that's going to become a little mini mastermind group. So some people who are starting the process the same time as you, some accountability, some encouragement there. That's a great way to do it. Another great way to do it is to come to our proven Amazon course. I'm sorry, our proven conference. Well, let me back up to Kickstart Bootcamp for 1 minute. I left a couple things out. Someone wants to record. Yep, there you go. Allow the recording. So with the Kickstart Bootcamp, you can pay $37 one time to get into that group. I think it's $37. And that's what gets you all those benefits. It's a one-time payment, less than $40. You get the group experience, Kickstart Bootcamp. So there's some camaraderie there, right? The goal of that class is to take you from never having done anything with Amazon up through shipping your first product. That's the goal. And you can find out more about it at silentgym.com/kickstart. There, I covered all the details. If you need me to repeat anything, let me know. But silentgym.com/kickstart has details on the Kickstart program. Another way to find community, and this is probably my favorite of all of them, is to go to the Proven Conference. Theprovenconference.com is the website. The next event is our 12th annual event, is in May of 2024. The 23rd to the 25th of May. We're expecting 600 to 700, maybe more than that, people going to Orlando, Florida during those dates from this community. A bunch of very successful Amazon sellers and a whole bunch of brand new people who are still figuring this thing out. Great sessions for newbies all the way up to very experienced sellers. It's going to be a fantastic event. It's shaping out really well. Tickets will go on sale soon. And the best way to connect with others there is to get into a mastermind group. That means you get a VIP ticket We're going to assign you into a mastermind based on your answers to a pre-event survey as a VIP attendee. Now, we don't do this for all attendees, this for VIP. So you pay a few extra bucks, you get some free lunches, you get some extra early access to the front of the room before the sessions start each day, that sort of thing. And you also get into a mastermind that you're assigned, and you will meet with your group at the event. So if you can make it to Orlando, a lot of benefits there for relationships. And even if you just come as a general admission attendee, the conversations in the hallway, the friendships you're going to make, the insights, the tips, the encouragement is priceless. So you need to be a part of that event if at all possible. We will have live stream as well if you can't make it to Orlando, but that pales in comparison to the experience of being there. So that's my long answer to how do I form community in this bigger community? How do I find a group of people that I can do this with?
I got the EMIF, based upon your recommendation. I'm about halfway through it, and it's an excellent book with a lot of very painful memories attached to it.
Michael Gerber, yes, the EMIF, yeah. The Entrepreneur's Myth. Yes, I love it.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. And one of the things that as a result of that, there's another book that I recommend. It's called Fire Yourself First. And it's basically how to take a business that you create and get to the point where you can step away, step out, et cetera, with it. So it's kind of a nice companion to the EMIF.
Who's the author on that one? If you happen to know.
Yeah, something. I can't remember his last name.
Because I've heard of that one too, but I've never read it.
Yeah, okay. Just go to Amazon, Fire Yourself First, and
sure.
You'll find it.
Thanks for the recommendations.
Okay. So the first question is, and reading through the E-Myth, it was saying that, basically you build a, basically what you're building for the customer is your business rather than the products you sell. And so I'm wondering, with an Amazon replens business, who's the customer? Is the folks we actually sell stuff to? Is it Amazon? Is it someone else? So who's the customer in this?
Interesting philosophical question. Well, I'm going to come at it from this angle. Because one of the pieces of advice I give whenever I hear someone's getting burnout, and I can tell you I've been doing this 22 years and I've never been burnout. And that's one of the things you can kind of run a risk of as a leader, business builder in the trenches. And even when I was raising my kids and they would see me, like all they see me doing is putting tape on boxes, putting stuff in a box and typing on the computer. Like, what are we really doing here? You really want to connect mentally and emotionally with the end customer that you're serving. So I'd like to imagine like I'm saving someone's day. I'm keeping someone out of the doghouse. I am making sure that party happens. I'm making sure that plumber has a tool he needs for that late Saturday job so he can, get paid and get home on time. So anytime you start to feel like it's kind of impersonal because you're not able to meet and interact with your customers, just to back up a step, we're talking book recommendations. I'll give you a lesson from this book. I always keep it handy. It's Business Secrets from the Bible. This is going to be the keynote speaker, by the way, at our conference in May. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is his name. One of the things he teaches in there is thousands of years, Hebrews have taught that a transaction is the start of a mutually beneficial lifelong relationship. That's what a transaction is by definition. So if you're doing transactions and you don't know who the other party is, and you're not building a relationship with them, or you're not connecting with them emotionally somehow, you're kind of missing out on a lot of the benefit of business, right? I see Renee here. He's a chiropractor. He's connected with his customers. If someone comes in and needs an adjustment, he's got his hands on them. Like, that's about as intimate as it gets, right? And still legal. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you're right there. You know who this person is. You know their name. You got to know each other, and you're providing a service. And, hug and handshakes develop out of that kind of relationships, right? But when you're selling random widgets to random strangers, that can be a little trickier. So you've almost got to use your imagination. I've had to do this. These are very real people on the other end of this. So we had our kids draw little pictures and little designs and things, stickers, and put them on the boxes. So they knew these are real families with real needs, and we're helping serve them with excellence. So for me, I envision my customer as the real person buying the product on the other end. That's what I envision, just so I have that sense of fulfillment, and it doesn't become monotonous, because that's when burnout almost always comes, when you become self-focused and you lose sight of who it is you're really helping. I've noticed that as a trend, and that's just a, kind of my own leadership observation. But if you lose track of who it is you're really serving, you can't connect with them. And I'll tell you another little slightly interesting story. I'll try to keep it short. Some of you may have heard this before, but I actually had the chance. Hey, Philip, thanks for kicking on your camera. I had the chance to go out to Amazon headquarters in Seattle at their invitation and meet with a senior vice president at his invitation for lunch, because we've helped so many people establish very successful Amazon businesses in our community. They wanted to meet and find out what I was all about and have a conversation and ask some questions. And one of the questions he asked me was, you know, if you were in charge of Amazon for a day, what changes would you make? I thought it was a great question. And I knew instantly what I wanted to say, besides fixing all the policy problems and all those little painful points. I didn't focus on all of that. I spoke at a slightly higher level, and I was, you know, felt like it was a good answer for a guy playing at his level. And I said, told him some of what I just told you. In Hebrew, a transaction is the start of a mutually beneficial lifelong relationship between two individuals. That's what a transaction is. I said, Amazon kind of steps in the way of that. You've got buyers over here, you got sellers over here, you got a brick wall between them, and we're like lobbing money over the wall and then lobbing a product over this wall. We're not allowed to get to know each other. I think you need to bring that wall down and let us start to build communities on Amazon. Let us get to know our customers. Let us interact with them and see them and build relationships. And the example I always like to give is, you know, the guy who's a model train nerd selling model train nerd parts on Amazon, let him get to know his fellow model train nerds who are buying those products. Wouldn't that be great? So to me, Amazon's kind of built a system that, you know, the biggest flaw that I see in their system is they keep buyers and sellers separate and they don't let us interact. So part of your journey maturing as an e-commerce warrior, from my vantage point, is you begin to build relationships intentionally other places, because it's going to be hard to do with your customers. And I know that's not the exact question you asked, Rich, and I'm happy to riff on it just a little bit more if that doesn't help you, but those to me are bigger, more important topics. As a business building warrior selling random widgets to strangers, you've got to have relationships. You got to have connections. That's a huge component of success. Otherwise, it's such a lonely business. But ultimately, the most important customer that you have to keep happy with Amazon, just the cold hard fact is, if you're not keeping Amazon happy,
right,
you're not going to have a business very long. So you do have to treat them as your customer, obeying the policies and following the rules. And, you know, although people get way too worked up on that issue, in my opinion, I've yet to see more than a tiny handful of people permanently suspended from our community after 14 years of teaching Amazon. But somehow, anytime there is some bad news, it floats and it stays at the top of the list forever.
That's what Jeff Schick is for.
What's that?
That's what Jeff Schick is for.
Yeah, get Jeff Schick involved 99% of the time. You know, but it is, I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the inconvenience of being suspended for, you know, 6 weeks during Q4. That stinks. Yeah. Again, that's why we're a multiple income stream community. But the odds of permanently losing your account, very, very slim. Very slim. All right. Did that help, Rich?
It did. And there's one more question. Thank you. One more question is that looks like there is, you know, looking like the recession looming on the horizon. Looks like it might be on the nasty side. And I heard a comment somewhere, it might have been on the podcast, that, you know, you can't control the ocean, but you can learn to surf.
Sure.
So if the Replens business is my surfboard, what would you recommend for, you know, what to do as the water starts to get rough?
You know, the beauty of the Replens business is you're not taking any big risks and going in super deep and saying, man, for the next 18 months, this thing better ride, or, you know, I've bought way too many units. It's selling what people are buying. It's, you know, we went through the COVID thing and people were freaking out. A lot of businesses shut down, got boarded up, went out of business. Replen sellers thrived because we're selling the stuff that people need. We're looking at Amazon. We're saying, okay, what is it that people are buying? When we're talking about half of all transactions online any given day in the United States are happening on one website.
Right.
And they can't keep their shelves adequately stocked during the best of times. If things get crazy, as long as people are still buying stuff, if people stop buying stuff altogether, there's no business model out there that survives that, obviously. But if people are still buying stuff, if they're still buying stuff online, which as the world gets a little crazier, they tend to stay home and buy more stuff online. I see a very bright future no matter how this plays out, any number of ways. The percentage, and this is important, numbers over an audio like this are sometimes hard to follow. So put your thinking cap on. This is only going to hurt for about 30 seconds. And it's not a lot of math, but stick with me here because this makes a really good point. E-commerce represents about 18% of all economic activity, retail in the United States. 18%. A lot of people think it's a lot more than that. It's not. It's only about 18%. E-commerce is 18%. The other 88-90% is traditional brick and mortar people getting their cars. In the next 5 years, that's projected for, I think it's like $1.5 trillion in new spending on top of what's already spent per year pouring into e-commerce, taking us from that 18% up to 22, 25, 26%. So a quarter of the economy, retail, will soon be online. Right now it's 18%. That's a lot of new spending, a lot of new numbers. This is the business to be in. These are the skills you want to be learning. People are going to buy stuff. They need stuff. They need the convenience to be able to get it from home. I see this as being about, I'm about as bullish about this. And not just because it's what we teach. We teach this because we're bullish about it, not the other way around. We're seeing success stories constantly with this model. We do it ourselves. So hopefully that helps you understand, you know, and my favorite thing about a recession, I say is, you know, just don't participate. Just don't participate. Yeah. Find where the opportunity is. That's the beauty of being an e-commerce warrior. You're small, you're nimble, you can change directions. There's so many different ways to do things. Just, you know, be a part of a community that you know, like, and trust, and pivot if necessary. But man, I see this going nowhere but up from my vantage.
A lot of what I've done for the last 30 years has been risk management, risk mitigation, that sort of stuff. So it seems like having a large number of ASINs, not going too deep, being able to get in and out and kind of pivot and something goes south, that's the shield against bad stuff happening.
Absolutely. By its very nature, we mitigate risk as job one around here. And I see Robin Joy popping on here. She's nodding her head too, because I listened to that episode that you and Brian put together. You guys talked about that at length. It's a new episode that comes out Wednesday. You know, we mitigate risk. That's the foundation of what we do here. And then we build on that. So your worst case scenario is kind of getting back to where you started. Whereas a lot of businesses, your worst case scenario is you're going to lose a lot of money. This better work. We're like really in bad shape here. We got all a bunch of stuff we can't sell, and we lost a bunch of money. No, we mitigate risk as job one with our model. That's why we teach it. Excellent. Well, thanks, Rich. Appreciate your questions, man.
Hi, Jim. Nice to see you. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see so many people on the call today. And somebody just said, I'm joining the Kickstart for sure. Good for you. We'll be happy to see you over there. We're having a ball. In May, Brian and I are doing a workshop on an accelerated path to 100 ASINs. So what we're doing is putting together a plan, helping you put together a plan, those who attend the workshop, helping you put together a plan for your next 6 months and how you can build a five-figure business. We use the three-step check and the four-week test to build a five-figure business in 6 months or less if you're consistent. The consistency is key, and we're going to work with you in this workshop live. We're going to let you try it. We're going to bring up examples. We're going to discuss the reasons this would be good, this would not be good, and help you build a plan for your successful accumulation of not only ASINs on your replants list, but sales in your business that can show Amazon trust so that they will open up some of those restrictions for you in brands and categories. It's going to be jam-packed into 2 days. It's going to be the 2 days before the Proven Conference. So hope everybody already is planning on attending the Proven Conference, May 23rd. This workshop will start on May 21st. So it'll be in the same hotel. So if you can go to both, then you'll just stay right in the same place the whole time. But we are very excited about it. If you want more information about that, you can go to provenamazoncourse.com/100 or 100. provenamazoncourse.com/100. Get on a list and somebody will call and talk to you about that. But don't wait, because seating is limited and we are not going to be able to take near the amount of people who are going to the Proven Conference. So if you want to get in there, go and let them know right away.
Nice work. Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. And I plan on hanging out a little bit the 2 days before the event as well.
I think Jimmy Smith is going to show up there too.
Yeah, he's living right down that way.
Yeah. So if you guys want direct access and you want to talk to some of these great leaders that you know are usually have a lot of big crowd around them during the Proven Conference, they'll be a little more accessible during this time as well.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, some good questions popping in as well. And just to let you guys know who Robin Joy is, she didn't take the opportunity to toot her own horn, even though I invited her to.
Sorry but about that.
Her and Brian and Robin Joy are great coaching leaders on our team who just do a tremendous job. And they, you know, Brian still has a full-time job, and this is a kind of a side thing that he brought Robin Joy into, and now it's become a passion of theirs, and they're great leaders in our team. They've built the Keepa training, the advanced Keepa training that's part of the Proven Amazon course, one of the great modules in there. The workshop that Robin Joy just described, we've done it once before, and it was tremendous. The participation and success rate from that was just fantastic. Had a great time the first time we did it. So this is our second time doing it. But they also do the Wednesday episodes of our podcast, The Coach's Corner. So if you ever jump on our podcast, check out the Wednesday episodes. Those are a lot of people in our community. They really like those because they dive in and get real specific, and they kind of do training. Whereas most of the episodes I do tend to be success story interviews, and there's plenty of good tips and techniques mixed in, but it's success stories with Proven Amazon Course students. So we've got hundreds of those. That's on our podcast as well. Those episodes are all at silentgym.com if you're not familiar with our podcast yet.
So when I find an ASIN that out of stock and I find it in Keepa, it shows the item in Keepa, but when I go to amazon.com and try to search it with the ASIN, I get a different item, not what I found in Keepa.
When you say different item, I think that's what's throwing me off. You're finding a different ASIN? You search for that ASIN in Amazon.com and you get a different result than that ASIN? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. I think let me take a shot at this, Robin Joy.
I'm sorry.
Go to Google.
Okay.
And type that ASIN. Because what'll happen a lot of times is Amazon's own search engine, believe it or not, even when you type in the exact ASIN you're looking for, is going to give you a handful of different results because maybe they've suppressed that ASIN for one reason or another. They've
put
it out of their database maybe for one reason or another. And sometimes it's just kind of vanished, but it's still there. Weird thing, okay. I know. Go to Google, type in your ASIN, search for it that way. It's going to bring up a page, or it'll say, sorry, this ASIN no longer exists on our database, which means that Keepa still has some old data.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's very possible.
I didn't know that you could search with ASIN in Google.
I have one other tip, one other way to do it if that doesn't work. I think that's a great way to do it. It'll often come up there. If not, go into your selling account and go into catalog and add an item. If you put the ASIN there as if you're going to add it, you don't have to add it. It will pull up that ASIN, even if it's out of stock.
It'll
put it there, and you can click on it, and that will take you over to the seller, the selling page.
Yeah,
that's a good. Okay,
that's a good tip too.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you,
Judy. How are you tonight?
Hi, good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to see you here. Is this your first time here?
It is, yes.
Yeah, welcome. I didn't think I recognized because that's my mom's name. That's why I was like, if you'd been here before, I might have remembered. Yeah, good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I had a VA. Actually, technically, he's still my VA.
Okay.
I'm a brand new seller. Tried to help me out getting some ASINs in, giving me some tips. One of the main things he did, because I was looking into doing wholesaling, being a wholesaler, is to develop a website for me through a Shopify account. And he did a couple other things for me as far as like a reseller certificate as well. But he put it all in his name, his passwords, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do you do that sort of thing? Are you a wholesaler? Do you have a website of your own that you present to suppliers and distributors? It's not even actual, it's just a smidgen fancy website. That's not, it's just a basic Shopify that makes it look like I am bigger than I am.
Sure. Well, let me start here. How much e-commerce experience, more importantly, how much selling physical product experience do you have at this point?
I've been doing replens. So I would say...
For about how long?
For about a year and a half. Okay. I have sold a whole lot because I'm going to school at the same time and I have devoted time to schooling and that sort of thing. So I'm getting back into it.
Okay. What's your best week, best month? Like, if you don't mind sharing, just give me a point of reference.
My best month was about $7,000.
Okay.
That was my...
That's helpful. Paints a little bit of a picture for us. And it helps Robin and I know exactly where we're kind of starting out with you. I would say you're not quite ready yet to be doing some of the stuff that you're talking about. You're close. You're closer than I thought when you first started talking. Because I thought you were going to say you're new to all of this, but you're not. Yeah. So you've been doing it a little while. Hiring a VA is not a way to help train you or a way to turn over projects that you don't know how to do yourself to someone else.
Yes.
It needs to be someone that you train. Hey, here's the things I know. I'm going to train a VA for $3 or $4 an hour how to do those things that I already know how to do with the models we teach here specifically. Until you're doing like $50,000 a month or so, now you can start to maybe graduate and mature into some of the other roles for VAs, and you're bringing people onto your team and doing some things. But initially, until you're at that at least $30,000 a month or so level, the VAs on your team are doing stuff that you can do better than they can do in all cases.
Okay.
You're better than them at everything they're doing.
Okay. And
that's how you build that nice foundation, because it you know, the number of ways that you can mess your business up by bringing in the wrong people or hiring the wrong VA, that's endless. So what we'd like to focus on is the right way to do it. And the right way to do it from our vantage point, having seen a whole lot of students, is you get good at finding replens yourself. And you build a good, robust business, $10,000, $15,000 or so a month, and you're doing it kind of all yourself, or you got friends that you've trained. If you have a VA, it's a VA that you found and trained on how to do it your way. You didn't bring them in to find stuff the way that, you know, if you find an ad and they're like, hey, we can help you find winning inventory, and you hire that person, odds are they're working for 50 other sellers and you're getting the same picked over leads that, right? You see what I'm saying? You want to train them yourself on your systems.
Absolutely. And he's a seller as well. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I wasn't getting what I was paying for, mm-hmm. and tried to trick me into giving my passwords to my other, my lesson. And it's good to hear that I should be, you know, no more than my VA. So that way I can train them. And that's very good advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just had one more that I've never done a bundled item before. I've only done single items. And just say that I have an item that I want to add a brush and something else to. With bundled items, do you use like the poly bags that you can purchase anywhere, Amazon or wherever this is the cheapest? Is that the type of thing that you do? You individualize those items? And then how do you do bundles with another item that you bought in bulk? Or do you do that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about bundles for a moment. Knowing that unless we have probably minimum of half an hour, I can't hit all there is to know that would keep you from making a potentially serious mistake. It would take me half an hour to keep you from doing something potentially damaging to your account in the arena of bundles. But I'm going to attempt to give you the basics in about 1 or 2 minutes here. And then Robin Joy can help me out. Okay. So bundles is a big topic. Yes, you do want a poly bag. Everything is a general rule. Yes, you can put unique items together and create new ASINs on Amazon. We spend a lot of time talking about this, however, because Amazon has a lot of rules in regards to what's involved in setting up new listings on their site. On eBay, anybody can go set up a listing for anything and sell just about anything. You're going to be fine. Worst case scenario is you're going to shut it down. On Amazon, if you're new or you haven't built a very robust business and you're right on that tipping point of kind of, you should start looking into these things, but you're still kind of new, right? I like to see people have a $10,000 a month, $15,000 a month, and kind of have some profits rolling before they start talking about these things, because there's a lot of little landmines. So the general rule is, if you still feel kind of new, don't set up a new listing on Amazon. Not a bundle, not a multi-pack, not your mama's favorite jam recipe, not a product down the street this guy wants to get onto Amazon, nothing.
Okay.
Until you feel really confident, because there's a lot of little things that can go wrong, right? Okay. But the concept of setting up bundles where you've got a value add item that of your own under your brand, trademark registered, brand registered on Amazon, and you add that into a bundle of other products, huge opportunity. We got some people doing killer businesses doing that model. Yes, opportunity there. But it's not just a matter of making sure you get the poly bags right and set up a new creative listing with the right keywords and off you go. We've got actually a module, the Proven Branded Bundles training, that's not in the Proven Amazon course yet. That's a separate course, but it will be soon. Between now and the time that the conference gets here, that's going to be rolled into the Proven Amazon course, Proven Branded Bundles.
Okay.
And that goes through, and it is multiple sessions about how to do it, keyword research, what products can go, you know, what the safe categories are, where to start, how to find those unique branded items. But the one big thing that you don't want to do is find other people on Amazon that seem to be doing it well and copy what they're doing. Because here's the biggest lesson, and this is something I'd like to drill into every new seller's head. If you, with Amazon, you've got policy, which is one thing, and then you got policy enforcement, which is another thing entirely. And from time to time, they like to overlap those two and make them make sense. But for the most part, they're completely separate worlds, meaning you're going to see people all over Amazon doing stuff that is blatantly against policy. Does that mean that you can and should and could jump in? No, I suggest you don't, because what we'll see from time to time is Amazon will say, you know what I think we're going to do today? I think we're going to enforce some policy. And then hundreds or thousands of accounts get suspended and shut down. And people are like, oh, this is terrible. Amazon is so cruel. No, they just decided to enforce some policies today. So we like to keep you ahead of the policy curve, if you will. Eventually, they do enforce policies. Sometimes people get away with stuff for a long time before they catch it and shut it down. So for example, just throwing a bunch of random items together, none of which are under your brand, and saying, I'm going to make a branded bundle and put it under my name. You're not allowed to do that. You'll see people doing it, but it's against policy. So that's my 4-minute bundle overview. I need more time to do it, but I don't want to take up all the time on just that subject. Did I leave anything out, Robin Joy, that jumps out at you?
You know, Jim, I totally agree with what you said. And if you have not done this before, especially if you're a new seller and you haven't sold regularly $10,000 a month or more, probably is a little advanced for you. But the training, you want to take the training. There are many landmines out there that this training will help you avoid. So the training that Jim was talking about, I can't remember exactly, Branded Bundles, I believe it's called. You want to definitely do that. Don't go out on your own on this one. This is not one that you want to be just kind of testing and seeing maybe that worked, maybe that didn't work. It's not like that at all. It can be very good, but you need somebody to kind of help you avoid some issues.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very well said. Thanks, Robin Joy. Thank you, Judy. Pleasure to meet you. Hey, Jim, one of the topics you mentioned for tonight was you were going to talk about how to find profitable inventory. So I'm going to riff on that for just a minute, and then we'll jump over and get Brian's question here. And let's start here. One of the most common questions we get, and I would say it's probably the most popular question over my 22-year career of selling online and teaching other people how to start successful businesses, is I need to find something to sell. I need to find profitable product. And they set about looking for a product that can make them some money online. What we figured out about, at this point, how long ago has it been? 7 years or so? 6, 7 years ago? Is that it's a much more interesting journey, a much more predictable, much lower risk, smaller learning curve, much more likelihood of profitability. If instead of making you go out in what we call a treasure hunt model, looking for something profitable I can sell, that's what a lot of eBay sellers do. They look for something I can buy for $5 and flip for $15 in the clearance aisle, you know, at Walmart and sell it online. Instead of having that mentality, we like to put you on a search for test-worthy ASINs or test-worthy listings on Amazon, which is a completely different skill set and mindset. And once that switch flips and you see the world slightly differently, suddenly it makes sense what I just said, because it sounds like I'm saying the same thing maybe two different ways. I'm not. Looking for a test-worthy ASIN, for example, could be finding a listing where I've given 70 examples on my own Amazon seller account in the past 6-8 weeks where I'm doing this. I'm jumping on listings on Amazon where maybe there's 20 other sellers. And above those 20 sellers, there's only 3 priced higher than me. So there's 16, 17 people priced cheaper than I am on a popular product. They've got more inventory than I do. They're priced cheaper than I am. But I was able to identify an opportunity there and test a couple units. And I'm selling successfully without ever winning the buy box. was that a profitable product before I tested it? Arguably, my worst case scenario was I was going to break even. I'm not sure I was testing it, but I saw opportunity there. So I'm testing against an opportunity that I think might develop. And a lot of times, quite often, more often than not, it does. Podcast episode 554 is where I want to emphasize and point your attention to where I really dive in. I spent about 40 minutes on this concept, but the thing you have to think of Amazon as, here's where you flip the script on what Amazon is to you. Instead of thinking of it as one central store where everyone goes to shop looking for the best deal, that's how a lot of people as sellers think of Amazon. I got to be the best price or I'm not going to win any sales. Or I better be really near the best price or I'm not going to win any sales. That's not what Amazon is. Amazon is hundreds, 150, 170, something like that, warehouses spread all over the United States. And a lot of times people are shopping not for the lowest price, but for the quickest delivery time. Meaning if your unit is sitting in a warehouse near someone who wants it fast, you're going to get that order. Even if there's 17 other sellers selling the same item in other warehouses around the United States at higher prices. So you're not looking for a profitable item that you can flip and make money. You're looking for underserved shelf space at Amazon. You're looking for test-worthy ASINs. And once you understand that lesson, it really starts to open up a whole world of opportunity for you in regards to what you can test. It gets to the point where on my team, for example, they'll come to me and say something like, okay, Jim, we found an ASIN. It drops 50 times a month on Keepa. If you don't know what I mean when I say that, go listen to podcast episode 369 at our podcast, silentjim.com, to learn what Keepa is. It drops 50, 60 times a month. Break even is typical buy box, meaning there's no money here if it sells for what it usually sells for. Why would we test it? I'm testing it every single time at a nice high price that I like. Letting it sit there, just one or two units, not 10, not 20, not 50, one or two units, letting it sit there, 3 to 6 weeks, something like that. About a month is when we start examining it around here. And typically, more times than not, I will have made a sale at that point. And now I'm ready to go send in another unit. I'm not going to go super deep. Remember, this game is won by people who take very small risks and test against ASINs that show signs of being test worthy. So, when I say I'm going to tell you how to find profitable inventory, it's not telling you how to find stuff for five that you can flip predictably for 15. There's not a lot of that going on. If it does happen for a while, that's great, beautiful, have fun with it. It's probably going to tank at some point. That's one way to do replens. A lot of people build beautiful catalogs doing it. I have a lot of those kind of ASINs in my catalog, but I'm more excited about the stuff that I sell, get to sell above buy box on a regular basis. And again, I've got 70 examples from my own Amazon seller account from the past few weeks where this works. So we're seeing a lot of people trying this out. It gives new sellers a lot of confidence when they start to apply these strategies because they realize, okay, I'm not the guy that's trying to be the lowest price. I'm looking for fast moving product that I could sit in the warehouse at a nice profit for me and hopefully make a few sales. If it doesn't, worst case scenario, drop my price, get my money back. So I explain it many different ways, many different times. Rob and Joy and I talk about this all the time. Brian on the show, we talk about it. It's just it's such a great way to give a little boost to anyone's business with such a low risk strategy. So we love talking about it, but that's just one of many ways to play the game. So that's my pitch for how to find good product. What I leave out, Rob and Joy, or who wants to riff off that a little bit, push back, ask some questions.
I didn't find you left anything at all out. I just want to reinforce the fact that this information that Jim has so generously given to us and shown us that actual information from his account, it's not just one time it sold for that. He tells us, I encourage everybody to go look at this because he tells us, oh yeah, this is regularly 3-4 times a month that I sell it for this amount that never shows up in the Keepa chart. It's somewhere way above where other people seem to be selling. And so I encourage everybody to go take a look at that. It is so encouraging for what we have available to us.
Yeah, so it's pretty eye-opening stuff. And I was surprised as I started digging into my account. So I'm like, I know we see this frequently. It's built into our strategy, but I've been really examining our inventory for the past, you know, like I said, 6-8 weeks. And it's looking for examples throughout the day. Like, oh, there's another one. So I look at the Keepa chart and there's no data point, like you said, Robin Joy, that represents the sale I just made. Because remember, Keep is not keeping track of sales that occur. No one knows. Amazon and the seller are the only two people that know when a sale occurs. Amazon doesn't share that data with anybody. All Keepa can keep track of is the publicly available buy box price that varies depending on where you are in the United States. It varies widely. But if you go in above buy box and test and just let it sit and you're patient on a couple units, wow, we're seeing some incredible stuff. And yeah, one of the examples I used a couple of days ago, just to use the round numbers, everyone's bouncing around. All the other sellers are bouncing around $22 to $25. That's the typical buy box. You look at the pink line on a Keepa chart, it shows you a typical buy box throughout the day, $22, $25. I come in at $37. There's no buy box history ever of anything selling at that price. And I'm selling two a day for the past 6 days at that price. How is that possible? You're not even price competitive, Jim. It's possible because a lot of people aren't shopping price competitively on Amazon. Not looking for the lowest price. They're looking for the fastest delivery time. And if I can be the fastest delivery time because I'm in a zip code near them, or maybe I'm the only FBA seller, which is a great way to use Keepa, by the way. Look for popular ASINs that are dropping a bunch of times every month with no FBA sellers. You go in as the only FBA seller, you can jack that price up. You can be the highest price. And we've got many ASINs where we are the highest price. 10, 15 other merchant fulfill seller shipping it out of their garage. We're the only one sending a unit to FBA with Amazon. Highest price. But now we're the fastest to ship. And people are willing to pay that. So once you start to understand that, the game isn't won by flipping clearance aisle items, you know, that you can find. Maybe there's some this week. Maybe there's not the next week. The game is won by people who know how to fill underserved shelf space at Amazon. That's the skill set we teach you here. Yeah, I love that topic. I could talk forever about it. But unless someone has any more questions for Robin, Joy, and I on that, I do encourage you jump into the Facebook group. If you have trouble finding that those 70 examples, it's basically one Facebook post that I've made, and I keep adding more links to it. And those links are other Facebook posts in our group where I'm showing you an example. In many cases, I've made a video, completely free information. Hop through it and see all those examples from my account, the Keepa charts, what I see, what I notice, why I get excited about them. I love those Keepa charts, Robin Joy, where Amazon kind of comes and goes. You'll see Amazon's on it, trying to sell it, and they run out of inventory. And they come back, and then they run out again. And they come back, and they run. Oh, those are gold mines for pricing high.
So I guess this year, I'll be about a year into it. And I just want for like people, I see a lot of new people, Judy, Jody, Petterman, someone, you know, around here that I don't recognize or whatever, but like I've been kind of feeding off one place, and this is a reiteration to you, Jim, because you've heard this before, but my goal is because I've been feeding off one store mainly for the past year and really only getting about, you know, 3,000, maybe 4,000 a month, you know, consistently. But that's not really going to do much other than, like, unless you're looking at it as a side hustle, a very small side hustle. So my goal this year is to really expand and buy, you know, Robin, I'm thinking about you with this too, because I'm like, how can I get like, what approach would you take a year into it, knowing that you know the process really well? I know how to box stuff up. I've done all the stuff myself for a year, but I need to spend a little bit more to buy a little bit more pricier things to get wider, better margins. You know, that's where I'm at. I don't know. That's where I'm at. I don't know. Do you guys have anything to say about that?
I think I'm going to recommend, Brian, that you try to send at least 4 or 5 new test ASINs every week in your shipments. In those test ASINs, since you already have a portion of your foundation built, you're going to want to kind of just raise that price. If you're using Keepa to find ASINs, raise the sales price a little bit, and that will get you a little bit higher price, but that doesn't necessarily mean better margins. As you're searching, look for ASINs that you can get all your money back. You have evidence of that are moving fast enough to turn over in 30 to 45 days, and then test them where you want them to be. test them higher so that you, because you don't know if you can get a better margin unless you test it at a better margin, right? Mm-hmm. Test them at a better margin, leave them in there, let them sit for a few weeks, and you can move that price around a little bit. But in our accelerator workshop, we do go over a plan to and exactly what you do that. But those are the basics. Just raise your prices a little bit higher. See if you can't sell your prices for that. And even if you have to go down and get your money back, that's okay, because you got all your money back and you can put it into something else. And there are so many more benefits to testing than just getting something that you can replenish. You'll probably make a little bit of money, but you will show Amazon trust and consistency. And that is valuable.
Opens up new ungating opportunities, new categories and brands that open up to you, et cetera. Yeah. So when I hear of someone that's been doing it a while and they're still at a fairly low dollar amount, you need to put more money into the system. I mean, it tells you.
Yeah. So I agree with that. And that makes perfect sense. But, you know, it seems like to me, not that I'm like, I don't know what the bad luck guy is, because I'm Irish. I'm pretty lucky, actually. But like, I don't know, you know, every time I feel like I can put more money into it, something happens where I need new tires for my wife's car. And then I need new tires for mine. And then I've got this dental stuff going on, or whatever it might be. It's
stuff
like
that's out of your control. I understand.
Really hard to, get to that next level.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I totally get it. If you're operating on a budget. But what I have seen too is if you are rolling your money over and putting it back into the business, mm-hmm. instead of needing it for life emergencies, you know, there's little we can do as far as training goes, and it can prevent those kind of things. But sometimes it's, you know, getting creative. There's a lot to be said for the Easter egg hunt models. There's a lot to be said for those basic, let's put some cash in the bank out of pure hustle models that allow you to eventually build these systemizable processes that can scale. So for example, one of my favorites is, and there's a whole bunch of these, but is let friends and family know, hey, I sell stuff online now. If you have anything you want to get rid of, let me know. And you do the work. Sure. That's a $50,000 net income business, 20 hours a week or so commitment.
Yeah, you're right.
Very side gig kind of thing. Like, all right, we got some new cash now. Go to your friend's garage. It's like, I'm not going to do a garage clean out. I'm not here to clean your garage. But there's four or five things here. I'll take some pictures and throw them out there in Facebook Marketplace and sell them for you. All right, cool. That's cool. Right. So you're not getting into like the clean out business. You're just saying, hey, there's some value here. I'll throw that on Facebook Marketplace or eBay, and doesn't cost you anything, doesn't cost them anything. Now you're sharing the money, right? Simple model. There's some little extra cash there for the time. Now you got some extra cash for inventory. But the thing is, you say you're doing 3 or 4,000. It's not a whole lot more work to be doing 10, 15, 20, 30,000. It's just not. The basic skill set's there. You just need more capital. You need more revenue. And, you know, and that's a lot of times, that's just a matter. That's hustle, man. Or finding the time. Or you're just not in the season of life too. Give yourself, you know, life has seasons. There's seasons of growth, and there's seasons of just maintaining and staying afloat, and there's seasons of, you know, sickness you need to be cared for. Life has all these interesting seasons. Not everybody's in a season of entrepreneurial growth at any given time. So cut yourself a little slack. I know you've had some rough times besides the ones you've mentioned now, you know, and some losses and things. And this is it's a long-term journey. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And I've always said that, you know, I have no problem being the tortoise in that race with the hare. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think everyone needs to remember that exactly what you just said is that there's a path. And I've heard some people tonight even saying that they're really getting ahead of themselves and jumping into stuff. And that's not a good idea either. So everyone has their own path. But, we're so grateful. You guys do such a great job. And I know for me personally, I'll get there eventually.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Absolutely, you will. Half the battle, if not more, is attitude, relationships, being able to seek out advice, you know, tenacity, sticking with it. The system flat out works.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you need to have the margin. And I mean, you've got the right mindset. You know, the people I'm concerned about are the people who say, yeah, I tried this and I tried six other things last week and nothing really works, man. Just, yeah. So I think I'm going to, quit my job and, start selling t-shirts on Etsy, man. Like, that person I'm nervous for, right? That's not the vibe I'm getting from you. I'm like, you know, slow and steady wins the race. You've learned a system. You can turn a dollar into two. You just need more dollar bills. Because life keeps hitting you with expenses and unexpected circumstances. And you'll be fine, man. You're going to get there. Stick with it, dude. Love having you in the community. Hey, are you coming to the conference in Orlando?
Already booked.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, you're going to, that atmosphere is just going to charge you, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Outstanding.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, you got the background that we can never see it, right? It's my eyes don't see it. Yeah, what's up, Renee?
I just had a quick question, and I'm glad that I got a chance to ask it. I just got, you know, I'm here in my office, and if you see me like leave, it's like I'm adjusting people. I mean, I just got slammed, hammered, probably like 20 just came in. But anyway, my question is, I was sourcing today, and I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to do the replenish model. And so I was just kind of walking, and I found a bunch of clearance. Obviously, it's January. I think it's the time for clearance. And I'm just kind of walking past them. Should I be, you know, because I'm trying to kind of like, you know,
I love,
you know, that's my question.
Good
that's,
question.
That's my question.
No, that's a fun question to riff off of. And it's kind of up to you. I like to say, I don't like to walk past $20 bills. It doesn't matter how successful my business model is. If I see $20 bills laying there saying, hey, free, take me. Mm-hmm. I'll grab them. Sure.
Okay.
I was out at, where was I? At a Walgreens. Picking up something for Andrea here a few nights ago. If she'd had some pictures printed for a Christmas card, that's what it was. And, you know, they still print the pictures and stick them in a Christmas card. I was like picking up a packet of those. And she said, hey, I need about 15 minutes. They're almost done. I'm like, all right, I'm going to cruise through the store. Went back to the electric shavers and just kind of cruising through the more expensive items in that store, just seeing what they got, you know, here's some 70% off stuff. Mm-hmm. A couple quick scans. I put about 45, 50 bucks in my pocket, just, you know, grabbed a couple of them. And when I'm checking out, I use my business card for the shavers I bought and pay for the pictures with a personal card, right? So paid for our Christmas cards by scrolling through. Like, why not? You know, there weren't any replens that we needed at the moment that I know of at Walgreens, but I found those. Okay. So sure, it's a trade-off, but I wouldn't spend my Saturdays going from store to store to store hunting for clearance item aisles. And
just in my sourcing today, I'm just going through my list, churning. I'm popping up clearance. Great profits. So clearance. Great
no
profit.
Reason not.
Clearance. I was like three or four or five of them in a row, and I'll just kind of move past them. But
absolutely. But, you know, I've seen people do that at scale. The hustle mode caps out at about an $80,000, $90,000 a year net income, and you're working hard.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
40 hours a week, and you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't want to look fun. For them, but I think
you can't scale. Kinda, you can't bring in a team to do it for you. You know, if you train someone how to look for clearance items, you know, items is for a business model, they're going to quit and go look for clearance items as a business model. You can't scale that, man. You just can't. I haven't seen it done successfully, but you can scale replens. Our shoppers go to the stores and buy the items we've told them to. They have no idea which ASINs they're assigned to. Mm-hmm. You know, they just go shop and bring the stuff and drop it off. It's kind of mindless. They're not saying, okay, go out and scan the barcode and compare it to these prices and look at this keep a chart. And like, we're not giving them the skills to compete against it. They're just out shopping. Mm-hmm. Right. But we don't do a lot of retail. We do a fair amount, but most of ours is online sourced. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my general answer to that is no need to walk past it. We're not saying we don't like doing it. We're just saying you can't scale that and automate it and systemize.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good stuff, Renee. Always good to see you, man. Appreciate you, brother.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Here's a question from Peter Berg. I'm reading this question out loud here. Should I only compete and compare with FBA sellers in Keepa when I'm looking at the lowest price seller? There's some false premises built into your question there, Peter Berg. Because like I mentioned earlier, you don't have to be, one of the premises that's built into your question is that you have to be the lowest price in order to win sales. You absolutely don't. Have to be. Actually, we'd encourage you to never be the lowest price, especially never be the lowest FBA price. Because if you're the lowest FBA price on a popular ASIN with a lot of sellers, really what you're doing is you're the anchor that's dragging everybody to the bottom. That ASIN is going to be dead soon anyway. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you want to, it's free market, you know, sell it for whatever you want. ASINs typically, when they tank like that, come back a few months later and everything's good again, profit to be made by all. But when I'm looking at the other, I don't pay a lot of attention to looking at the other sellers. I pay attention to, can I make a net profit for me on this item that I have in my hand against that ASIN? Can I make a profit? Do I have a good chance? So if I put it in there at a price that's good for me, I don't care what the other sellers are doing necessarily. Other sellers represent typical buy box line. I'm not looking at the typical buy box line. I'm saying, can I send it in above buy box to a warehouse near someone who wants it fast? And they're going to snag it. And they could care less what the buy box is. That's the first test. Now, of course, I love being on ASINs where the buy box represents a nice profit for me. Those are a little harder to find. They're out there in abundance. But it's a lot easier to find the ones where I just test above buy box, knowing my worst case scenario is I drop it down to buy box, regardless if it's FBA, FBM, doesn't matter to me. Shopper, just look at it as a shopper. You know, watch someone who shops on Amazon a lot. Watch how they shop. If you, you know, if your spouse shops more than you do, or you know someone that shops on Amazon considerably, they're not price sensitive as much as typically as they are time sensitive. And once you start to understand that, you start realizing I'm not competing on price on all these other sellers. I'm competing on the calendar too. So there's a lot more factors than just what price point is everybody at. The calendar, the dates. Make a habit of looking at the dates. Next time you see an ASIN that has like 20, 30 or more sellers on it, just look at the dates. There's a wide range of dates. Sometimes you'll see dates, delivery dates for the customer. Like if I were to buy this right now, it would take 2 weeks to get here. What's up with that? Well, that's some seller that's sent in their inventory and they have told Amazon, hey, it's on the way, but Amazon knows by the time it gets here and we get it checked in and we make it available for sale, it's maybe 2 weeks before we can adequately ship this to anybody. So you've got to, you can factor in like, well, okay, I can ship it out of my garage faster than that. So maybe you merchant fulfill on those things that are flying off the shelf, right? So there's a lot more going on than just looking at the other sellers and my price competing with them. Hopefully that makes sense. I feel like my brain's slowing down a little bit, but I'm trying to explain that you're not just looking at the price of the other sellers. There's a lot more to look at. And that's the kind of stuff that we train you on. But I've also got, again, I'm going to reference those 70 examples that I've given you. You know, after this session is over, I'm probably going to make a shortcut link for you guys, silentgym.com/, let's think of a good one here that's not taken yet. Let's go BB70 because I've given 70 examples so far. BB70. Go to silentgym.com/BB70. And you're going to see those 70 examples of stuff that I'm selling above buy box on a regular basis, ignoring the pricing of all the other sellers. And you can see what those Keepa charts look like. It's a popular post in our free Facebook group that hopefully helps explain this to you guys. And I'll start referencing that. I plan on making that, you know, 80, 90, 100 examples because we're doing this all day, every day. All right, guys, I promised Peter Berg I would jump in and have a chat with you if you're able to. Can you unmute? Is that cool? And let's talk a little bit more about competing with other sellers for price.
Hi, man.
Great to meet
Thank
you.
Thank you for taking my question again.
Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So, I was thinking about the three-step check that Robin Joy is talking about a lot.
Okay.
So like, for example, you want to be able to get your money back. And when you're looking at the lowest priced seller, that's what I meant. Like, so
understood.
Like, do you look at the prime sellers or the FBM sellers as well? But they could also have like they could have a lower price than the FBA sellers because they don't have any crazy fees or whatever. So yes. Then that could really ruin the margins, you know?
Great question.
So that's kind of my question that I've been struggling with a little bit.
If you go listen to episode 612 of our podcast, that's what Peter Berg's talking about right now, is an episode where Robin, Joy, and Brian go through the three-step check and they talk about it. It's a free podcast episode. The content is explored in depth inside the Replens training inside the Proven Amazon course. One of the things we want to do when we're evaluating ASIN with a three-step check is to establish what our worst case scenario is. So we know how confident we can be going ahead and buying some of this to test. And he's saying, if I understood you correctly, I think I followed you this time, is what other sellers am I looking at in order to determine that worst case scenario baseline? I'm looking at all the sellers. I'm looking at that pink line on the Keepa chart to kind of say, what's the worst it's done lately? Let's use that as my worst case scenario. So to go back to an example I used a few minutes ago, let's say that pink line on the Keepa charts bouncing between $22 and $25, kind of up and down, $22, $25. Maybe a little spike here up to $27 and maybe a little drop down once in the past 6 months to $19. But for the most part, $22 to $25. I'm going to use that $22, $23 range as my worst case scenario. Odds are, if I drop my price down to that point and it's a fast moving ASIN, meaning it's moving at least 30 to 40 times on the Keepa chart, which means way more sales than that, but that's a lesson for another day. If it's dropping 30 to 40 times on the Keepa chart and my worst case scenario break-even point is $22, yeah, I'm going to test it. If, however, I have to sell it for $27 just to break even, I'm not going to test it because that typical Keepa chart's bouncing between $22 and $25. And that's the pink line. That pink line could be FBM, could be FBA, could be anything that's winning the buy box at any given time. I'm looking at the typical buy box as my worst case scenario. Does that help, Peter Berg?
Yeah, that helps. I was thinking because the pink line then will be the buy box. But if you look at like the offers tab and you can filter down, you know, Prime or FBM, you can see stock movement. So you can get some indication of like, okay, this FBA seller is actually selling something of this ASIN, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's just like, that's how I'm looking at it. But I guess it makes sense too. Like
you can do, it depends on how disaster proof you want to make it. Some people will look at a full year and they'll look for any seller that sold at the lowest possible price. They'll look at the data, you know, they'll look back at the buy box rotation and they'll find a seller. To use the example we were just using, somebody sold this thing for $9 5 months ago. And they're like, that's my worst case scenario because the buy box dropped down to $9 once. I'm not going to go. I'm looking for typical. I'm looking for typical buy box. My favorite way to do it, keep this in mind. I'll look at an ASIN and within 10 seconds decide if I'm going to buy inventory and test on that ASIN. If your strategy that you're using takes you more time than that, could be because you're new, but if it takes you 10 minutes, man, you're digging way too deep in the weeds. If it takes you more than a minute and you've been doing this more than a couple months, you've overcomplicated the process. If typical buy box, that pink line, is near my break even and it's a fast moving ASIN and I know where to go buy a unit, I'm going to go buy a unit and test it at a price that's profitable to me every time.
Awesome.
I know pink line. Buy box represents the line I could drop my price down to and get my money back if I need to. Does that help?
That's great. Thank you, Jim.
Someone said they found an ASIN and Keepa says it sells 2,500 times a month. Okay. And they bought it to test it, sold out day one. I have the extra money to stock up and own the listing as there is only one other FBA seller with limited stock. Should I amp it up incrementally? Maybe buy 100 more. And Chad is the name on this shared account. Okay. So Chad's saying he found an ASIN. It's selling really fast. There's only one other seller who has limited inventory. How deep should I go? Here's my answer to that question. You need to look at the history of that ASIN and make sure that it's not just a little flash in time that you're having success. I would also make sure that it's not being sold by the brand owner because that could spell problems for you, especially if you go in too deep and they decide to kick you off for some reason, they get grumpy. These are all things that we cover in the Proven Amazon Course Replens training, by the way. There's a lot of little precautions. Before I go deep on anything, there's a lot of boxes I have to check. And I've mentioned a couple of them. Typically, no, I'm not going to go in super deep on anything, even if it's kind of flying off the shelf. Because as soon as you go in deep, that's the minute someone goes out and buys 5,000 units for pennies on the dollar of what you paid. The manufacturer comes in, whatever. Amazon goes out and places the big order. This game is not won by people who wait for their chance to go really deep on a good replen. That's not how you win the game. Slow, steady, cautious. Don't go too deep. You don't want to get stuck with too much inventory. So I'd say continue, you know, at a nice, smooth, steady pace. Go maybe get made 10 or 15 more. Merchant fulfill them if you can. Find out how well these sell on eBay. Can you sell them profitable on eBay? Okay, well, there's a little backup plan for you. Maybe I would go a little deeper if I can sell them profitably on eBay, right? So do your research, proceed with caution. There's my answer to that.
Thank you for listening to Silent Sales Machine Radio. Visit silentgym.com for a link to our free newsletter, our free Facebook group, and all of our resources mentioned on today's show.